Today our theme is the work and the success syndrome. And the talk title is Flow versus Frustration. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But when you go to work, are you in the flow or are you frustrated? Now, considering the fact that we spend a third of our lives, almost half of our waking life at work, it seems that it would make a whole lot of sense to be working at something that's satisfying and fulfilling. Now, that goes for those of you who work at home, those of you who are stay-at-home parents, those of you who are retired, and I hear a lot from those of you retired saying, I am busier now than I was when I was working. So you are still working, even though you're retired. Now, when we were young, we had these grand dreams, didn't we? That when we grew up, we would do these, you know, we had these dreams of what we would be and do. But somewhere along the way, some of us lost those dreams. And why is that? You know, one reason I think, you know, I have a few reasons that I believe that we're doing things that we might not necessarily really be wanting to do. But we do it because we think we should take that job because it pays more money. Even though it may not be the right job for us, we think we should do it because it will make more money for us. Another reason we sometimes do things that, you know, we're not really crazy about is we think, well, I should continue working in the job I'm in. I mean, it's a good job. May not be exactly what I want, but I really shouldn't change jobs now because what would my spouse or partner think? What would my family or friends think? What would the neighbor think? Another thing I hear a lot is that I should just shut up, keep working until I retire, then I'll be able to do what I've always wanted to do. Now, and there are some others who say, well, maybe I should just keep my dreams where they belong in my head. And so today we're in the fourth part of our 8 weeks fall program called Thriving, Not Just Surviving. And the whole church is doing this. Our kids, the youth program, our teens, everybody's doing this program, learning and looking at these principles that we find and that we're studying in Eric Butterworth's book, Spiritual Economics. Eric Butterworth is a Unity minister and author. He's written many, many books. I think one of the clearest Unity authors we have. He's passed away several years ago, but his work still continues. And we're looking at spiritual economics. He wrote this book in 1993, but it's just as relevant for us today as it was then. So if you haven't gotten your book, we got some more books in. We ran out last week. So they're in now. You can pick a book up. So we're going to talk about our work today. And if I were to ask you, why do you work? You probably would say, to make a living, obviously. And then I might ask you, well, what are you getting out of your work? And you might then kind of rattle off some figures, you know, my salary, perks, fringe benefits. And then you might even add, and by the way, I'm way underpaid. Eric Butterworth talks about this and comments on this kind of thinking in spiritual economics. He says, your prosperity will always be a reflection of your consciousness. Your prosperity will always be a reflection of your consciousness. And he goes on to say, you may seek diligently to demonstrate prosperity, but unless you unlearn the error thoughts about work, you will be forever out of sync with the creative flow of the universe. So your prosperity is a reflection of your consciousness, and we need to change some of our thoughts about work and why we do it and what we get out of it. Yet, you know, yes, most of us need to still work to exist, right? Most of us are working in order to live in this world. But our good flows so much more easily to us when we do our work with love, no matter what the work is. There's no degree. And it's really not the work that's important. What's important is the attitude with which you do your work. That's what really counts. And so I want you to ask yourself a few questions. And I think these are really important questions. And just kind of contemplate for yourself. First one I want you to ask yourself is, am I working for something that truly satisfies me? I hope and pray you can say yes. That you are so excited about what you're doing. You are so, it's so satisfying to you. You know, or you could say, well, no, you know, I'm working to pay the bills and to exist. And that's unfortunate. Second question I want you to think about is my work giving me satisfaction or exhaustion? When you come home at night, are you satisfied with what you've done? Or are you totally exhausted and just drop on the sofa in front of the TV? Important question. Another one is, do I enjoy what I'm doing? And if not, why not? I mean, do you jump out of bed in the morning and say, I can't wait to get to work. This is the best day. I know something great's going to happen today. And if not, if you're not really enthusiastic about what you're doing, why aren't you? And then one last question is, do I feel burned out? If yes, what am I resisting? What am I resisting? Because you don't get burned out from hard work. You get burned out when there's something that you're resisting. You know, you can send an awful lot of electricity through a teeny little wire, but the minute you put a resistor there, seconds, it's burned out. And so if you're burned out or you're feeling stressed, ask yourself, what am I resisting? You know, are you going to work every morning saying, I hate this job, I hate what I'm doing, I hate the people I work with? If you're saying things like that, then zap, you're probably going to be burned out. It's not so much the job that you're doing as much as it you hating the job or being unhappy in the job. It's what's in our minds. It's our thinking that puts up the resistance to our good. I have people often coming in and talking to me and saying, you know, I really don't like my job. There's something, we talk about what else would it be that they would like to be doing. And then all of a sudden they come back to me, they go, oh, they're upset and surprised I got laid off. I got released. And it's like, you're surprised? Go figure. You just told me you hated it. And I go, congratulations. Good job. Now you get to go out and find work you really love to do. So see it as an opportunity. You know, if you're released from a job, you're released to go on to your greater good. See it as a great opportunity. An article once said, stop whining and make things better. In a change-prone world, work world, bad attitudes can cost you your job. Negativity prevents you from achieving as much as you could. If you think you can't change, chances are you won't. But if you make it your business to develop new expertise and make yourself indispensable, you could very well create your new job without going anywhere. I love Susie Orman. She's a financial teacher on TV, written books and does lots of seminars. And one day she was being interviewed on a talk show, and she said something that I never would have thought about. She said, if you're out of work and you're looking for a job, she said, find the company that you would really love working for. And then go in there and volunteer to work for free for 3 to 4 weeks. You're not working anyway. Prove yourself worthy of the job. Be creative, she said. You know, in today's world, there's lots of competition. Be creative. Do something out of the box. I thought that was brilliant. Just volunteer and work and show them what you can do. Eric Butterworth writes in Spiritual Economics, and if you don't take anything else away from today, this is it. Remember, work is a giving process. Work is a giving process. We think we're there to take our paycheck. But you're really there to give. It's a giving process. He goes on to say, don't get trapped in the error of equating what you earn with the work you do. Let your work be an outworking of the creative flow, engaged in through the sheer joy of fulfilling your divine nature. You will prosper, but it will not be because of the money because you have made money in the job. The work in the job is the means by which you build a consciousness of giving. The best living is made by those workers whose chief motivation it is to give themselves away. So work is a giving process. It's to give yourself away. Isn't that beautiful? Beautiful way to look at our work. And we should be fulfilling our divine nature. Our work, what we do, should be fulfilling our divine nature. And I'm so fortunate to say, yeah, I'm in a great position. I love what I do. I can't wait to get up in the morning to come and be with you, you know, on Sundays and during the week. And we have a great time. And we make it fun. And so do whatever it is that you do the best you can. Do it with love. Do it with commitment. And your main question should be, the real question, should be, do I love what I do? And do I love the people that I do it with? Because if you love what it is that you do, then you will sharpen every pencil with a bliss that is unsurpassed. You will answer the phone with joy in your heart and enthusiasm in your voice. You've got to love yourself where you are right now before you can ever move on to your greater good. So many of us spend time and our energy hating something, whether it's a job or a person. Then we tie ourselves to that job and to that person. It's the law. It's how it works. Right? Remember the law of mind action. It's our third unity principle. Let's say it together. Thoughts held in mind produce more of their kind. So whatever you're holding in mind, you'll be attracting that. What you're focusing on, what you're thinking about, you're going to be attracting that to you. I say this almost every week, but until we really get it, that we are creating our own life. And so so if you're thinking, you know, I can't stand this job, I can't get out of here, you know, and you affirm with passion, this job stinks, guess what? What does it do? What is the job? Stinks. It's going to get stinkier, too. Not only stinks, it'll get stinkier. Khalil Gibran, in one of my favorite books, The Prophet, he said this, if you cannot work with love, but only with distaste, then you should quit your job and go sit at the temple and beg alms from those who work with joy. Take a deep breath on that one. It's a harsh truth, but it's a very, very, very important insight into consciousness. If you're not doing what you love, go home and think about it and pray about it. What it is you should be doing. Because this is why Jesus said, and a lot of people have a problem with this scripture, for those who have more will be given, and they will have abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. It may sound very harsh, and a lot of people say, oh, Jesus would never say that. Well, yeah. If you understand that Jesus is talking about consciousness, it really makes sense. Let's read it again. For those who have the consciousness, more will be given, and you'll have abundance. But for those who do not have the consciousness, even what you have will slip through your fingertips. That's why you see people winning the lottery, and within a year or two, they're not only where they were, but they're even in a worse-off position. You read it all the time in the paper. They don't have the consciousness. If you don't have the consciousness for it, you will not be able to hold on to it, no matter what it is in your life. consciousness comes first. I love what the Message Bible, how the Message Bible translates it. I think it makes it a little clearer. Whenever someone has a ready heart for this, the insights and the understandings flow freely. But if there's no readiness, any trace of receptivity soon disappears. And so, again, when you have the right consciousness, when you have that ready heart, the insights and the understandings, they flow. The divine ideas, they flow. The intuition and insights are there. But if there's no readiness, if you've got a consciousness that's negative, then there'll be inner frustration, and what you have, you'll lose. What happens is the world matches your consciousness. That's important to remember. The world matches your consciousness. And so this scripture takes on new light, that when you have that consciousness, a ready heart, an open heart, the insights will flow, and you'll have more. They'll come more to you. But if you're not ready, if your heart's not ready, if you don't have that consciousness, then even what you have will feel like it's just slipping away from you. So Eric Butterworth says you have to earn the level of consciousness by which you are sustained and prospered every day. When you work in the right consciousness, when your work becomes organically part of your whole self, you know, when you do work out of that commitment, no matter what other people do or say, no matter what the compensation is, doing it for the health of your own soul, then you will open the door by which the affluence of the universe rushes in, flows into your life. There's no job with a future in it. I love this. The future's in the one who has the job. Though we say, well, what's the future in the job? No. The future is what you make it. Future's in you. And Eric, I love this. Here's another one that I want you to take away today. You can change your job, any job, if you change your attitude about it. You can change your job right now, any job, if you change your attitude about it. So, the change begins right where you are. I want you to start blessing your job, bless your boss, bless your coworkers, bless your employees. Just bless them every day. And then love yourself in the job. Love yourself in what you're doing right here and now. And when you do that, your job will take on a new dimension, an absolutely new dimension. And one of two things will begin to happen. When you bless your job and you love yourself in the job, what will happen is your consciousness will bring about a change in the job, making it right for you, because all of a sudden, guess what? The job will look different, will feel different. If you're blessing the job, blessing everybody in it, blessing your coworkers, then all of a sudden your consciousness shifts and your job will become right for you, or another job will open up for you and you will be guided to move on to your greater good. So one of two things happens, and either one of these is not a bad thing, is it? Not bad. And so when you do what you do very well, do it the best you can, doing it with love and loving what you do, the universe will support you. It cannot help itself but support you. So I want to kind of share with you a little bit about my work history, because I feel like I have never worked in my life. I feel like I have never, ever had to go out and find a job. Jobs found me. They kind of fell in my lap. I started at age 4. My mom put me in dance school, and then I went on to a career, a wonderful career in theater. I went to New York University School of the Arts and have a Bachelor of Fine Arts in theater dance, and went on to dance in London and toured South America, toured all over through the United States. But at a moment, I was on and off Broadway, dinner theater, summer stock. I had a great time. It was play. It wasn't work. Loved it. But I knew when it was time. I always knew when it was time to move on. Then all of a sudden, in between theater jobs, because you have a job and then you don't have a job, and then you have to find another job. So in between, I'd work at the New York Health and Racquet Club in New York City, and I would teach yoga and calisthenics and put through people through weight training on the machines. And I sold memberships. And one day a gentleman came in and to buy a membership, and he introduced me to a friend of his who was looking for somebody to work at the New York Times syndication sales company. And so I was at that point in his eyes a salesperson. So he had his friend call me. I went to work for the New York Times. I'm not a newspaper person. I'm a theater person. But it was fun. I thought, well, this is kind of interesting. And then I got hired when I sold the newspaper, the New Service Wire, the ability for newspapers around the country to reprint articles and features from the New York Times. And then I went on. I was hired away by Universal Press Syndicate. I got to go around in an 8-state territory selling Doonesbury, Ziggy, Kathy, For Better, For Worse, Calvin, Hobbes, the best comic strips. We had hundreds of features. I had a blast. Bill was one of my clients. He was the editor of the Dayton, Ohio newspapers. Do you see where it's going? We got married, quit our jobs. We had two huge paying jobs. Quit our jobs, sold the Mercedes, everything, moved to Maui. Bought a newspaper, a weekly newspaper. Built it up 3 years. The daily newspaper on the island made us an offer we couldn't refuse. We sold the newspaper. Bill stayed on. I left and went to the Unity Church of Maui, where I was attending. And I went to the minister and I said, you need an assistant. Here's a job description. Here's my resume. And I will work for $6 an hour. It wasn't the money. And so I went. And that kind of opened me up to possibly doing ministry. And before I went to ministerial school, I had a job as a campaign assistant to a campaign director. We raised $31 million to build the Maui Community Arts and Cultural Center, which was a state-of-the-art theater on Maui. Back to my theater day. See, everything worked, and I just doors kept opening, and I just kept stepping forward, kept going, and, you know, and here I am, and my entire background, I look back, and I go from theater to sales to campaign assistant to everything has, you know, helped me do what I do today. And so I want to offer you a new way of looking at your work. The word vocation comes from the Latin, and it means I call. So I want you to think about your job as a calling. Think of it as what you have been called here to this moment in time to do. If you considered your job a calling, what you've come here to be and do, would that change how you felt about your work? You know, might it change how you show up to your job tomorrow? Could it, you know, would your relationships with the people you work with be different? If it truly was, you felt, I am called to do this work. No matter what, even if you're a receptionist or, you know, whatever, or a CEO, whatever, there's work is work. It's your attitude you bring to the work. See it as a calling, and it will change it. And so your assignment this week, should you choose to accept it, is to change how you think about your work. Now, ask Spirit to help you change how you think about your work and how you think about the people that you work with. And let your deepest heart's desire be to go back to work tomorrow to do four things. To the first thing, with a new and improved attitude, it's a calling. Just change that little thing in your mind that what I'm doing, this is my calling. See how it changes your attitude. Second thing is to walk in with a bounce in your walk and an open heart. You know, I love being here. Fake it till you make it if you have to. You know, but just feel like, this is the best thing ever. Third thing is to do more than is asked of you. You know, go the extra mile. Do a little bit more. And then the last thing is to be positive, supportive, and take initiative. Be the one who gains the reputation for being that positive one that everyone loves to be around and that you are supporting everyone on your team or in the area of where you're working. And then, you know, be that one who takes the ball and runs with it. And just see, have your prayer be that you really embody and become the qualities that will bring your calling forth from within you, you know, what you have come here to be. Eric Butterworth, in one of his other books, The Universe's Calling, he says this. He writes, an employer once noted in a memo that was affixed to the paycheck of a worker. Here's what he said. We have decided on a nice salary increase for you, which will become effective when you do. Did you love it? Yeah. We got a nice salary increase. It'll be effective when you do. When you become effective. Think about it. I'd like to end with this inspiring story about Johnny, a young man with Down syndrome, who bags groceries at a supermarket. Now, you may think that is an insignificant job, but look how Johnny turned it around. After Johnny heard about the importance of adding a personal signature to his work, he asked his father to help him on his computer. At night after work, he types a thought for the day on the computer and then prints out copies. He cuts them into strips and he signs the back of each. At work the next day, Johnny puts a thought for the day slip in every shopper's grocery bag. Within a month, Johnny's checkout line was 3 times longer than any other in the store. Shoppers wouldn't move even when there was no wait in other lines. They wanted Johnny's thought for the day. Within 3 months, the people in the flower department were pinning unused flowers on their customers. Customers who used to shop once a week were now coming in more often. And there's the butcher, a big Snoopy fan, who buys thousands of Snoopy stickers and affixes them to each meat package he wraps. And Snoopy is flying out the door. I'd go to this grocery store, wouldn't you? Definitely. You have choices. It doesn't matter what the boss is, what your boss is doing, what your coworkers are doing, what your workplace is like. You can find value and share value in any job. And there's absolutely no doubt it was Johnny who made the difference. And so you can make a difference too. Do what you love and love what you do. God bless you.